What is up, my dudes? I return for another episode of the podcast which overloads you on opinions. And you know what? I really need to work on the format of stuff here. I didn't get to read over the weekend for Sacred Mushroom and the Cross because I had to go up to Pomona and do some stuff for my sister. I think I mentioned it, but I got sidetracked and didn't get to read as much as I wanted to. So today, instead, we're going to talk about dumb stuff like, I don't know, memes. Maybe that would be cool to talk about. I got to roll with Kainan Duarte today, and it was a positional sparring thing. I should probably preface. Kainan Duarte is one of the best jiu-jitsu players in the world, and I got to roll with him in positional sparring, and it was weird that my most threatening technique did absolutely nothing to this man, and just reinforced the fact that I have a long ways to go before I can do anything to a black belt. But you know, that makes sense. I'm a competitive white belt. So that was interesting. I accidentally put a dude out for the first time today. I was rolling with him and he got me in the mount. And I grabbed for the cross choke, which I really like the cross choke. And I was sitting there and I'm choking the guy and I can see it setting in. And then all of a sudden, he falls on me. And I was mad, because I thought he tapped, but I didn't know for sure. And I thought this guy just, like, fucking fell on me. And I was like, what the fuck? In my head, I didn't say anything out loud, because I'm a respectful training partner. And I was sitting there like, okay, so this guy just landed on my, like, flat out just fell on me. And he gets up a second later, he's like, yo, dude, I just went out. And I was like, oh, shit. Terribly sorry. And he explained. He said, well, it's not that big of a deal. We're all right. It must be like muscle relaxers he was taking for an injury, he said. But it was still kind of weird. Like, I've never put somebody out before. And the fact that it was that, I'm not going to say it was easy, because it was a hard roll. The guy was, I think he was a purple belt. The fact that I was able to get that, and it didn't take very long. It was like 10, 20 seconds, maybe. I wasn't counting, but, you know, between 10 and 30 seconds. And this guy just goes out. Like, what the fuck? And, you know, it's, in one way, it's cool to know I can do it. But in the other way, it's, on the other side of that, it's like, I don't like doing that to my training partners. That's just not cool. But, you know, it happens. I would have preferred not to, but, you know, whatever. Now, if only I can do that in competition, get somebody to pass out so the ref has to break us up. It's only one way to win. Another thing I did today, or yesterday, last night, because I couldn't sleep. I've been looking into stuff like mantra meditation, because I do like mindfulness, you know, headspace and all that stuff, but mantra meditation, like, you know, traditional Zen Buddhism stuff where you pick a mantra and just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. That really seems to work for me, because I have trouble, like, I have trouble clearing my mind, because I always think about stuff. It's impossible for me. It's almost impossible for me to legitimately clear my mind. So the mantra gives me this thing to focus on that, you know, by proxy clears my mind, because I'm just sitting there focusing on this one thing. So I went online. I started researching Buddhism because, you know, I've been interested in Buddhism for a while, but kind of tertiarily. And after coming back from Japan, I found, you know, a lot more interest in it, because I was exposed to a lot of Buddhist temples and practitioners of Buddhism and stuff like that. So I went online, last night I picked up a Buddhist mala, which for those of you who don't know, it's Buddhist prayer beads or meditation beads. Or what they do, there's 108 beads, and there's a special one at the bottom, which is it's symbolically significant as kind of being like your teachers recognizing there's something you're not. I don't remember the significance. I was reading this at 3 a.m. and I'm not gonna lie to you, but there's 108 beads, and you're supposed to recite 100, but they have 8, you know, for extras that you do in case you miscount. Cool. And it's also significant. There's 108 forms of suffering or something, but I'm gonna pick that up as a way to start doing Buddhist meditation, and then I'm gonna start learning more about it over time. But this seems interesting to me, and I want to try it out. But these things are pretty cool because these malas are, I found them online. I looked up Buddhist, I went on Google and was like, Buddhist mala. And, you know, the first thing that pops up is this one. It was made out of some super special wood, and it was $150. And I was like, how about, no, I'm not spending $150 on some beads. So I go, you know, further down and further down. There's this website, it says how to use a mala. So I click it and I'm like, all right, this is cool, learning how to use it. And this website is a bunch of Buddhist nuns who are in some monastery or, you know, convent. I don't know what the term is for Buddhism, but they make these malas and they sell them. And all the proceeds go to the nuns. So, you know, you can't lose with that one. And they were $15. Like, the cheapest one, I got one made out of bone. It was beige bone. And it was $15. They had other really cool ones. Like, they had ones made out of jade. They had them made out of malachite. They had moonstone. Like, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, the jade ones were, like, $60. And I'm not covered in money right now. So I just went and got the $15 one. And it's going to be here in a couple days, and I'm really excited to use it. It seems like a good way for me to meditate. But, you know, I'm kind of just sitting here, because it's, as I'm recording this, it's 8:42. I'm just kind of been sitting around. I mean, the crazy thing right now is I am oddly busy. Like, I woke up this morning late. I can't believe how late I woke up. Woke up at like 8:30. Disgraceful. Potentially even, it was like 8:30. Just absolutely disgraceful. Dude, if I'm not waking up at 2 a.m. to go train, am I even dedicated to the sport? But I woke up at like 8:30. I wanted to wake up at 7 just because it gives me time to do stuff like homework and kind of just relax. And I didn't, but you know, I'm not going to complain about it too much because if I fell asleep at like 3, I woke up at like 8:30. That's like 5 hours of sleep. So I didn't get the sleep I needed last night, but there was that. And then I go do my thing, my morning routine, which today just involved listening to a Joey Diaz podcast and eating a bagel. And then I go to jujitsu, which, oh my God, dude, outside of all that stuff I told you about already, my nose is like a fucking magnet for getting hit. Like, I was rolling, and the difference between the regular classes and the competition classes is everybody's going super hard in the paint. I mean, people are going hard in the paint at Atos regularly, but whew, this one, it's dope. And I was rolling with this guy, and he hits me with some transition. I couldn't tell exactly what it was, but he just fucking rails my nose with his elbow. And I'm sitting there because he got to mount on me because I was like, okay, I got to take a second here. And catch my, you know, regroup, because I got, you know, those flashes when you get hit in the head. Yeah, that shit was not fun. And then the next roll, it was maybe one or two rolls after this, some guy fucking catches me with, like, I think it was his heel. I'm not sure if it was his knee or his heel, but he catches me. And I'm like, motherfucker, the second time today. And then the third, this dude passes out on top of me. And I'm like, God, what the fuck? Can we stop with this nose abuse, this nasal abuse? And I go out into the bathroom after I take a shower and I blow my nose, just fucking blood coming out of it. And it's like, oh my God. I'm just sitting there rolling, like, I hope I don't get another deviated septum. This is bullshit. They can't take anything else out of my nose. I wonder if they can. Like, is it possible for me to get a deviated septum again? Because that shit just feels like bone up there. But it was interesting because there were two guys coaching this class today. There was Lucas Barbosa, who he was, I don't know what was going on, but he was doing something. He wasn't always on the mat, but he was on the mat most of the time. And there was this other guy who I'd never seen him before. I didn't have my glass on, so I couldn't read his nameplate on the back of his gi. But he was walking around. He was giving me some good advice. You know, I was doing some stuff well. But as one of two white belts in the competition class that is filled with some of the most talented competitors in the entire sport, yeah, I spent most of my day getting fucked up. So I'm sitting there, and this guy would rarely come around when I was doing good. Now, I was only doing good like 10% of the time today, but there was one moment where this one guy, he had control of my hips, and he was putting his fucking knee right on my face. And the coach comes over, he's like, don't accept his knee in your face. And I'm sitting there just like, you know what, dude? This guy is considerably more experienced than me. I cannot get my hips away from this fucking guy. I have a lot more work to do before I can just get his knee out of my face. And oh my God, I got mad at one dude and I just started fucking bullying him because I got him in a headlock and I was just tossing him around. It wasn't as successful as I wanted it to be, but it was kind of, it allowed me to vent some stress. But at the same time, as soon as your emotions get involved in the fight, you lose. So I took an L on that one. I mean, that was most of my day. I mean, I feel like you guys don't really care about me talking about school or any of that shit, but I did see the... Fuck. Notre Dame was on fire, which sucks. The thing is, though, Notre Dame has been restored, like, twice. So if we're going to be 100% honest here, Notre Dame will be rebuilt. Doo-doo-doo. And the, unfortunately, the building is burning. I don't know how much of it burned, but I think someone already donated 100 million euros to the cathedral to rebuild it. And I don't know how much that thing cost to build. I'm sure it's astronomical, but it will be rebuilt in time. It's unfortunate that such a major historical site got caught up today. But it is kind of interesting, though. I feel like nobody went to sleep on Sunday thinking that today would be a historically significant day. Because, I mean, the burning of Notre Dame is a historically significant event, no matter how it happened. Someone's going to write that in a history book. Even it might just be a footnote, but it's going in there. And, you know, oh, God, dude. Why can I not stop yawning? It's something that was going to take time to work on. Now, here's the thing I've been trying to get into, dude. I'm trying to get into Mobile Suit Gundam. Because I've watched two Gundam series. I've watched UC, and I've watched Gundam Thunderbolt. And Thunderbolt is dope. I love Thunderbolt. Because there are some great scenes in there. But at the same time, there are so many Gundam series that I'm sitting there just like, okay, what the fuck do I need to watch? And I have a thing on my phone Stop. Stop yawning. I have a thing on my phone, which has all the Gundam series in, you know, what timeline they're in, what stuff you need to watch, how you should watch it, what parts you can just skip. Because apparently there's a bunch of Gundam that you can just skip. Because it's like, this is a fucking tertiary story nobody gives a shit about. But I like a good, like, political drama, and the fact that it has robot space fights with giant mech super tanks is cool. But the whole, like, I've watched a considerable amount of Gundam. I watched 24 episodes and 2 movies worth of Gundam. And Zaku, like, Zeon just cannot get their shit together. Like, what the fuck, guys? Who is coming up with this busted-ass Zaku robot compared to the Gundam, which is just running around? It's in space with fucking super boosters and all kinds of shields and shit. It has a laser sword. Deadass. Gundams have lightsabers. Like, who the fuck came up with that? Then there's a bunch of other shitty mobile suits that are like, oh yeah, we have the Gundam, this really, really cool mobile suit, but then we have a bunch of other, like, basic infantry mobile suits. Like, okay. We have this weird, stupid-looking, I don't know, it's like a shitty Ultra Magnus from Transformers. But then we have the really cool robots, like Char's Zaku, or the Psycho Zaku, or the Full Armored Gundam, or something like that. Ooh, that's some cool news. Israel Adesanya and Max Holloway lead UFC 236 payroll with $350,000. That's nice. Glad those guys are getting money. You know, I'm disappointed. Because I was on Google this afternoon. Don't you fucking do it again. And there's a JoJo's collaboration for clothing, but it's all women's clothes. Like, what the fuck, dude? All I want is to dress like a Pillar Man. For those of you who've never seen a Pillar Man, I want you to look that up right now. Just look up JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Pillar Man. And you will know. Honestly, I would wear that every day. If I had... I'm just going to describe some of these outfits for you, dude. You need to know what the ultimate in fashion is. I mean, we are looking at large, incredibly muscular men with loincloths and crop tops. They all have some form of headgear. They have considerable numbers of piercings. They also happen to have, I don't know, ridiculous jewelry on. I mean, come on, dude. Who wouldn't want to dress like a Pillar Man? The leader has incredibly long purple hair, who also happens to be wearing what is essentially just backpack straps as a shirt. And he has greaves on with armor for his shins, but not like the whole rest of his body. Because, you know, why not? Or, I don't know, the one who's wearing a reverse bralette thing. Or the guy just who has coasters sewn onto his chest. There's that, too. Those are certainly outfits that I could wear every day. I mean, come on. It's getting hot outside. Summer's approaching. I could easily just wear a loincloth and backpack straps as an outfit. It'd be very comfortable. I mean, for real. Who doesn't want to wear that? But, you know, I do hope because Rocky did a collaboration with Gucci way back, and they had some really cool clothes. Swear to God. Oh, my God. Why can't I not stop fucking yawning? Rocky did a collaboration with Gucci a ways back, and it was cool. I really liked Rocky x Gucci. And this, it's Rocky collaborating with X-Girl. They need to have a male collaboration because I need some of those clothing. Some of that clothing. And it'd be cool. Because I did want to get the JoJo's Vans collab. But I just can't afford them. Because they're $99. Like, what the fuck, guys? Come on. Lower that price. Here's another interesting thing. Okay, so I didn't mention this. It just came out recently. But, there is something going around the grappling community. And it's Keenan Cornelius being asked to leave Atos. Well, I don't know why that would happen. I mean, it's unusual. I don't really, It's all speculation because Cornelius hasn't said anything about it besides he was asked to leave and that there was many facets to the situation, but Galvao hasn't said anything. And, you know, people are speculating that has to do with Andre's church or... Which, okay. Context. Andre Galvao, besides running Atos, has a building next to it that is a church. It's a small church, but it is one. And that's one of his things that he feels he's compelled to do in life. No judgments for the dude. I mean, do what you want. He's clearly a successful individual, and if that's what he believes in is his path, then that is his path. However, for someone to speculate with no evidence that that gym church, which it hasn't been pushed, like, I train there. It hasn't been pushed on me. I don't know if it's been pushed on anybody else. I don't know enough about that group to, you know, make any conclusions. But it feels like the fucking journalists who are writing for jiu-jitsu websites and all that shit are just picking for straws here. I mean, you know, Keenan is a training in, as an individual at Atos was already quite autonomous. I never really saw him train in classes. I only saw him train with other people. Like, he would show up kind of whenever he wanted and train. He's good at what he does. And, you know, you kind of get the right to train whenever you want when you're good at what you do. But I just have no idea what this could have been. I'm very interested to hear more about it. And the thing is, it's not like Keenan doesn't have a lot of places to go. Like, let's be real here. One of the places I saw as speculation, which has a lot of heavyweights and would probably be good for Keenan, is Checkmat in Anaheim, Los Angeles area. There's also Saulo Hibero's in San Diego. There's Fabio Santos's. There's all kinds of gyms. It's a bunch of really good ones. There's 540. I could see him easily going to 540. It wouldn't be too big of a stretch for me to say that that's where he's going to go next. Because he already was a 540 guy. A while back, he was a 540 dude. And, you know, the thing that sucks is I never spoke to the guy a couple times, but from videos I've seen of him and stuff I've heard about him, he's a nice dude. I mean, aloof, sure, kind of out there, sure, but I'm out there, so it's not that big of a deal. And he is an interesting training partner because he's come up with some ridiculous shit for jiu-jitsu. I mean, lapel guards, that's pretty interesting, some of the stuff he's doing with it. But, you know, at the same time, it's like this, this give and take. I think Atos attracts a very specific type of person competitively. In the heavyweight division, they have guys like Kanan Duarte, Lucas Barbosa, fucking Dumbbell. There's like five or six guys. And all those individuals are very, they're dedicated to what they're doing. They all seem to be very similar individuals. And they all seem to have a very intense work ethic. One of the guys that, you know, I'm making speculation based off of what I've seen. I haven't seen everything. I haven't seen most of the story. Kanan is this dude who doesn't seem to fit that mold. Which, you know, he is incredibly successful at what he's doing. But he just doesn't fit that mold. Like, I don't particularly want to fit that mold of this hyper-intense, you know, not hyper-intense, but super-intense training. Like, I want my training to be effective. I don't want it to be pointlessly hard. Like, yeah, you have to train at super high intensity sometimes for, you know, whatever, a quarter of the year, half the year, however long it might be. I haven't really nailed down the periodization on jiu-jitsu yet. But, you know, I don't feel like it's necessary to train like a fucking bat out of hell to achieve goals in the sport. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, dude. I'm just fucking ranting, doing weird shit. I pulled up a video. Or not a video, an article about this Kanan Cornelius situation. And it's just, it's certainly weird. I want to ask, because there were people in the locker room today who were like, hey, what's the deal with Kanan? And nobody fucking knows. Nobody knows. So it's like, hey, what's going on here? This is suspicious. But, you know, I don't know. Something I did over the weekend is I went to a thing called Kingdom Con, which is a, like, tabletop gaming convention that happens to have a lot of 40K stuff. And, you know, I went and checked it out. I got a limited edition, well, not limited edition, it's just a kind of hard to find, Noise Marine model, which is pretty dope looking. I'm pretty excited to paint that. And I got a bunch of shit super cheap. I got, like, six bikes with 39 Space Marine Scouts and fucking Kairos Fate Weaver, who's a dope psyker. If you have no idea what 40K is about, you're probably confused. I bought a bunch of models, which essentially break down to toy soldiers that I use to play a game that happens to be quite entertaining to me. And I was looking at some of these tables, right? They had an apocalypse game, which is, I mean, fucking huge, ridiculous amounts of points. So I want you to think of a 6 foot wide by like 30 foot long table. And there are as many plastic models as you can physically fit on this table, like within reason, like there's space to play the game. There were fucking Titans, which are these, you know, 2 foot tall models that are super destructive. There were hundreds of infantry units. There were all kinds. It was fucking ridiculous. And, you know, the thing is, I am kind of hyped up because I have a bunch of these. Oh my God. I have a bunch of these new models and I want to play them. But the thing is, I like Black Legion, but I've also heard the Purge, who is kind of attached to one of the Legions I already play, is super good rules wise. And I want to do like a Dreadnought mob list with the Purge. You guys probably have no idea what I'm talking about. Oh my God, that would be so fucking cool. I'm on Reddit right now, and I saw someone posted up the idea of a From Software Berserk game. I would give anything for that game. Like, oh my God. That would be so fun. Ooh. Sekiro is really cool. I got that game. I talked about it on a... talked about it on Friday, I think. I don't know if I did. I don't remember. Sekiro is really cool. I love Dark Souls, but it's a really hard game to play. Sekiro. It's not a regular From Software game. Much different pace and a lot of different techniques and stuff that you can use, and I find it to be kind of stimulating, because most Dark Souls games are just, okay, well, you're gonna run this way and you're gonna try and avoid everybody or just individually murk all of them, and then you're gonna go to this boss room and you're gonna die like two or three times to figure out his attack pattern, and then you are going to just dive roll around him and stab him in the ass until he dies. Dark Souls, very hard game, but it can easily be defeated by rolling behind someone and stabbing them in the ass until they die. So I'm very interested in Sekiro because it changes the way that you kill things, especially bosses. You have to chip down their health bars. And after you chip down their health bars, you get this thing called the death blow, which it allows you to do an animated, like, super move where you just absolutely fucking yeet the guy by, you know, stabbing him in the eye or some shit or chopping his head off, whatever. And if they have a second bar of health, they just get back up. You have to fight them again, which is pretty cool. I don't have too much to talk about other than this, so I think I'm going to wrap this one up. I do apologize for not bringing the Mushrooms and Jesus episode 2 out today. I'm going to be doing double time reading to get my my facts straight before Friday. So I'll see you guys then, and I hope you guys have a good week. Remember, review the show, rate the show, share the show, sell the show on mixtapes in the street. You know, all that cool stuff, and I will see you guys on Friday. Peace out.